Mit Indecision auf Lux FM am Mittwochnachmittag. Heute Abend spielt Alexandra Denton aus Manchester in der Kantine des schönen Berghain als Shura. Jetzt ist sie aber erstmal bei mir im Studio und wir quatschen über den aktuellen Status ihres Projektes. Bisher sind ja nur 3 Songs veröffentlicht. Shura arbeitet aber wohl schon fleißig am ersten Album. Wir reden über ihre Liebe zu Synthes und Studio-Equipment. Wir sprechen aber auch über erste Erfolge, ihren Perfektionismus und Pumas im Amazonasgebiet, vielleicht sogar auch. Zunächst aber heißt es jetzt und hier, welcome to Flux FM, Shura.
Thank you for having me.
Easy, it's a pleasure for us. How are you doing?
All right.
Cool, where are you coming from today, actually?
Straight from London, so flew here, got snowed on, and here I am.
Yeah, it's just, it's not snow yet, really. It's like a combination of rain. Yeah. It's
the ugly. For London, that snow. Oh, like, okay. We would be like, what's going on?
What is that? It's white.
Yeah.
Well, welcome again to Flux FM and congratulations on putting out some of the most beautiful pop songs of the year.
Thank
and
you.
On getting signed by Polydor.
Yeah.
That is not too long ago, right?
Yeah, a month or maybe 2 months ago now. Yeah, still kind of getting used to the idea that that's happened.
You're a signed artist right now.
Weird.
And you've been signed by a record company that's kind of well known and pretty big. So congratulations on that. I've read that several labels were interested in signing you. What were the reasons finally to go for Polydor?
I think just you have conversations with people about music, and if you're on the same kind of level, I just felt like the conversations that we were having were kind of exciting and about what I could do. Mm. You know, it's just in the end, you just kind of got to just jump and hope for the best.
Yeah, that's true.
And I've jumped and here I am.
Yeah, but it's a good starting point that you're talking about the things that you could do and that you're not discussing things that you should do, because that would be the first mistake
when a record company goes. Yeah, things that you can't
do, you know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's might have been a wise decision to go for Polydor.
Cannot wear a hat. I would have been like, no.
No, but has writing the song Indecision helped you? Because I found out today that you actually wrote this song to talk to yourself about which label am I going for and stuff like that. So has writing the song helped?
I don't know whether it helped change anything, but it was just nice to kind of have something to pour like my thoughts into something creative to still be... Because it's hard when all those thoughts are flying around your head to still write music and be creative.
Yeah.
And that was a way of kind of throwing it all into one corner and just doing it.
Good idea, though.
Yeah. I mean, tricking myself into carrying on working.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing that you really need to do now. From now on, for the next few months, you have to write and produce and record songs, right? Because, I mean, you've put out 3 songs until now. You did a Jessie Ware remix.
Yeah, I mean, I have to write an album, which I've never thought I had to do that before. I was just doing songs, and now it's like, oh, I guess it's my job now. So,
but I found out as well today that you're into the LP kind of format still, because so many younger artists, they'd be like, no, I'm putting out EP after EP, and maybe after 3 or 4 EPs, I'll probably think about putting them all together to an LP. But you basically are going for a long player, right?
Yeah, I think so. That's what I want to do. I just feel sometimes when you put out 3 EPs, then your album's got everything that's on the EPs. Then why would you get the LP? So I would like some people to buy my album. So I'm going to go for that, I think.
Yeah, cool.
We'll see. Polydor will be like, no, 4 EPs first.
Okay, thank you. I'll be in the studio. Yeah. Bye-bye. You did collaborate with 1 or 2 producers from London, I think, before you decided that was better for you to do everything on your own and everything yourself. Why is that? How did that decision come up?
I think I got jealous. I could see when I worked with Hiatus, who, if it wasn't for working with him, I wouldn't be here. But just seeing him work with Ableton and create and do whatever he wanted that was in his imagination.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to be able to do that. So it was more just kind of being excited by other people who were good and being like, I want to be good at that too, I think.
Okay, so you were just jealous of people fumbling around on knobs on consoles and stuff.
Yeah, exactly, and synthesizers. I was like, that looks so fun. I just sit here and sing and play a bit of guitar. I want to do that stuff too.
Oh, the whole thing goes from, oh, when you turn that knob, that's fun.
Yeah, oh my God.
Cool. Because I was thinking maybe you're a perfectionist as well, and maybe you want to do the stuff that you're thinking of, and you want to get as close to the stuff in your mind as possible,
that's
right?
That's definitely part of it as well. It's nice when you collaborate, it's always making kind of compromises, mm-hmm. and that's great because sometimes that person has a better idea than you, but it's also really nice to just explore what your brain would do without anything kind of getting in the way.
Yeah. And I think it's important as well, because if you win or lose with the material that you're providing, with the material that you're putting out, mm-hmm. I think it feels better to lose or win with your own stuff, you know? It must be horrible to go for the charts with your first record that's been made by some producer or co-written by some producer, and then you fail with it, and it's like, it's not even your own stuff that you failed with.
I think that's why you always have to just do what feels authentic to you, mm-hmm. because it's like I carry the laptop for the show in my bag, because if I lose it, then the only person that I can shout at is myself. See? So, I mean, that's kind of my attitude towards writing as well.
So that's how far you're going. You won't give your laptop to anyone else because there's the responsibility for the laptop, which is responsibility for the show and your music.
Yeah.
That's nice, though.
Yeah. It's annoying because I'm like, it's quite heavy.
But it's a good thing for your tour manager then, because he doesn't or she doesn't have to carry that much. It's an interesting thing.
I keep hold of that and my passport, so quite responsible.
That's nice. So, as we're talking about your laptop and your backpack, are you going to do the show tonight on your own? Because I've read that you were playing with a band as well in the UK. What kind of show is it going to be tonight?
So it's me and a guy called Ali on drums, on this kind of incredible drum kit that we've built, and a guy called Luke who plays keys and bass. So it is two other guys, but it's quite small. It's still quite a small setup, I guess. We're all doing a lot.
Yeah.
We're all kind of like octopuses with trying to get as much done as possible.
That
but it's fun.
Good to me. Yeah, cool. Before we talk a bit more, before we give away tickets for tonight's show, let's listen to another song of yours. Here's Touch von Shura. Was haben wir alles gelernt? Sie ist froh, dass sie bei Polydor untergekommen ist. Sie hat den Song, den wir gerade hörten, Indecision, ja auch geschrieben, um rauszufinden für sich selber, zu welcher Plattenfirma sie gehen soll. Und das hat funktioniert. Und sie arbeitet gerne alleine. Denn wenn man mit Produzenten zusammenarbeitet, sind immer Kompromisse am Start. Und die will sie nicht eingehen. Sie will rausfinden, wie die Musik klingt, die sie aus ihrem eigenen Kopf heraus in das Pult hineinspielt. Und ich kann euch sagen, die Musik klingt gut. Hier ist sie nochmal mit Touch, wie gesagt, Shura auf Lux FM. Shura mit Touch, das ist in der Tat das Stückchen, das daran schuld ist, dass sie jetzt bei mir im Studio steht, denn vor einigen Monaten hat sie das Ding online gepackt und ruckzuck waren da hunderttausende Views zum Video zusammen und auch ihre Soundcloud-Seite war komplett überladen quasi mit Zuhörern zu diesem Song, der dann dazu führte, dass sie jetzt auch gesigned wurde von Polydor. We've talked about the fact that you do like to produce your own stuff and that you're actually a fan of studio equipment and a fan of knobs especially. And I do understand that an artist like you wants to produce the music, wants to have control over the signals that are used.
Yeah.
And what I ask myself though is, what about mixing the album? Is that something that you want to do on your own as well? Because it's a time-consuming job to just go for the right levels. And I've read an interview with you where you said, sometimes I think about the loudness of a shaker for too long.
There is no right volume. It's either too loud or too quiet. I think mixing is a science and it's an art, and it's not one that I have the patience for. So I think in terms of an album, I would love to get someone to mix it. But mainly because you get too kind of worried about stuff that in the end doesn't matter in terms of the song. So I think it would be kind of time wasting.
Cool. but I was thinking that working a bit, because I can understand that working with a producer can basically mess things up
completely
as well.
Completely change the landscape.
But if you're finished producing it basically, and if you're just going for the right levels, I think you can basically.
And I would definitely be there. I would listen to the mixing process, or you know, after a few days, come and see how it's going and be like,
okay, cool. So you won't get lost in the mixing process.
Hopefully not. I probably will, but I'm going to try not to.
Okay. So you've released like three songs already? How and when are you working on more material? Because you're touring right now. Have you used some of the Polydor's money to build up a little studio already? Or
I mean, I've got a studio at home anyway. Mm-hmm. It's not great, but it does the trick for demos. And I've been writing this week, so it literally every bit of time that I have when I'm not touring, I'm writing, because obviously I have to write an album now. So no weekends left.
Yeah. But that's what you do then. So how far are you with that stuff?
I think halfway mm-hmm. in terms of writing. It's not finished production wise, but hopefully we'll have a little gap now for Christmas, and I can just kind of really try and get some more work done and write more.
And you'll be like, family, leave me alone.
Goodbye, Dad. Goodbye, Mum. I don't have a twin anymore.
I can't talk to you. Yeah. I have to produce some music. Yeah, who are you? I'm a signed artist now.
I can't hear you over this shaker.
But do the concerts actually help to check out which unreleased songs are going to make it onto the album? Because I bet you must play some unreleased material.
Yeah.
Do you check the reactions? Yeah, do you check the reactions of the audience and go like, oh, this is going to be a song for the album, I guess?
Definitely. I think you can see what people really respond to well, mm-hmm. and that's incredibly exciting. And there are songs that production-wise I didn't know what to do, mm-hmm. and having just played them live, you get just from that audience and from playing with other musicians, mm-hmm. you really can direct them in a positive and kind of new direction. So mm-hmm. that's exciting.
And I've read as well that it's interesting for you to play with those musicians and play them live, because you basically have to say goodbye to the album versions already and play them in another... It's another animal to play those songs live.
Well, I think it will also affect the album version. So I've released three songs that are kind of singles that I've made in my room, and now I'll be playing them, and maybe Touch on my album will sound a little bit different.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
You just don't know.
Yeah, you described it as the thing that's happening when you're a sit-down musician and a stand-up musician. That's a nice description, I think.
Yeah, that's definitely it. And you're just discovering, you're constantly discovering.
Yeah. This is going to be your first Berlin show, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and now you're in the Cantina, at the Berghain Cantina, which is a great venue. You're going to love it.
I'm so excited.
They got a good PA there.
Yeah.
You're gonna be able to use all the bass, even the deeper bass frequencies.
There is one bass thing that just kind of almost knocks everyone's hats off, and we're just like, hold on to your hats.
That sounds good to me. So what are the next steps? What are your plans for the rest of 2014, beginning of 2015? You're going to write.
Yeah, literally write, mm-hmm. And probably rest a tiny bit, mm-hmm. and see my twin, you know, hang out with my twin, because that's the weird thing about going on tour. It's just bye twin brother.
But he's the one who's in the video as well, right?
Yeah, he's in the beginning. So there's a guy who leaves me for my twin, which is a bit weird. It's quite funny, yeah.
That's a cool story, actually.
He is prettier than me, so.
Oh, man. So I want to wish you the best of luck for the next steps. Say hi to your family, say hi to your twin brother, and to your mom and dad as well.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk to each other pretty soon. I guess you're going to be coming back in 2015 for more shows.
Definitely.
I think so. I think people are going to fall in love with you and your music tonight. And then from then on, the Berlin-Shura relationship is going to be a great
blossoming
one. Yeah, blossoming. That was the word I was looking for. So thank you for visiting
us. Thank you for having me.
Und wer Sie heute Abend sehen möchte beim ersten Berlin-Konzert, der kann mich jetzt anrufen. Shura spielt in der Kantine am Berghain. Die Telefonnummer zum Glück lautet 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000, das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Und wer durchkommt, steht auf der Gästeliste für Shura heute Abend. Und hier habe ich jetzt nochmal einen Song ausgesucht aus ihrer Childhood-Playlist, die sie irgendeinem Magazin präsentiert hat. Magazine was asking you to put up together a playlist,
DIY,
and you were like, okay, I'm gonna put together a playlist that represents my childhood. And I found Ronnie Size and Represent in there, and that's a song that I want to hear again. So this is the one to say goodbye to you, Shura. Thanks for coming.
Thank
bye
you.
Bye.